RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, to talk about the gene technology bill and farmers' concerns about its impact on New Zealand agriculture and exports, and how a meeting, I think on Tuesday, went with the Prime Minister. Coming on RCR this morning is the National President of Federated Farmers to talk about this, Wayne Langford. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Paul. Good to be here. Yep.
So, you had a chat with the Prime Minister, I think at Mystery Creek, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was probably a bit more than a chat. I think we had around 700 farmers arrive at the end of the day.
Okay. So
it was a pretty big meeting. Great to have, so many farmers come along and also, you know, get the Prime Minister and the Minister of Agriculture out to the provinces and hearing what people have got to say and what direction of travel they're taking.
Yeah, I see he's saying basically that he thinks agriculture is a way out of the situation we're in going forward. From the Farmers Weekly, the vast majority, 93% of farmers surveyed, think it's important that there is widespread consultation with farmers and growers on changes to New Zealand's gene editing regulations. That's virtually all the farmers, Wayne.
Yeah, we're certainly hearing a bit of feedback. Obviously, this has been a contentious topic for many decades, and then it's one that's coming to the fore again now. The minister has put out a guidance document on it currently at the moment. We're waiting to see the cabinet paper, which could be out before Christmas. And then we'll be a bit more clear around exactly what they're thinking.
Consultation is one thing, but there are other concerns. There's a potential $10 to $20 billion hit, OANZ are saying, that we could take if any of this goes wrong, even if the perception of New Zealand's sort of premium product is called into question. So there's a lot at stake here. Are farmers supportive of the technology? Are they wary of it? Have they thought much about it? Have they thought it through based on what's already happened in some places around the world, where it could take us? I know it's a long-winded question, but...
That's five questions at one, but we've certainly been out and surveyed our members and also our non-members as well. The data coming back is around 75 to 80-odd percent are in favour, and obviously the others aren't, and with around 10%, strongly opposed. Now that didn't dive into the details too much. That was more, are you in support of the government reviewing the gene technology rules? Is kind of the question that was put forward. So we've looked at data from other bodies as well. For example, our levy bodies have surveyed farmers as well, getting similar kind of ratios there around how it looks. So that's what we're working on. Now, as President of Feds and obviously with a membership-based organisation, I'm conscious that, you know, the majority is saying, yes, we're okay to look into this and move ahead with it. But that doesn't mean that the minority's voice isn't important here either. They've got, you know, strong business models based around potentially their status and what they're doing. And so we need to make sure that through this process they're looked after as well.
Yeah, so really in the end, if it's talking strictly business, is there more to be made? Is there more opportunity carrying on and enhancing and growing what we're doing already versus, you know, jumping into a whole brave new world of biotechnology, which is still kind of in its infancy, has very few successes to show in the real world up to this point. So, you know, if you're a business person, isn't it obvious that we enhance what we've taken so long to build already and make that the strategy?
Yeah, it's an interesting a point to make there, and I guess it goes on a spectrum as well, right, of how far we go into it, how far we don't. We've got the ability to move cautiously into this and not affect our status. We could go the whole hog and obviously remove our GMO-free status and work with that. There's a multitude of options here, and certainly that's what I'll be taking to the minister and asking those questions. I think to your question there around, I guess you're asking there around the markets, you know, what are the markets thinking and ultimately what effect that will have on the business? That's a really good question and something that's not been addressed in the guidance document already. And we think certainly if the government are making a decision of this magnitude, then that certainly needs to be addressed.
Yeah. One thing about gene editing, though, it seems to sidestep the actual description in this new gene technology bill of an actual GMO, because it's perceived to be one step before the modification, yet it's a crucial part of the modification. So it's These are things we've got to be careful of, don't we? And also anything out of the lab, we've seen what happens when things get out of the lab, Wayne. That is such a high degree of assurance needed there that I wonder if we could even meet the standard.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So the question is whether or not this is actually going to be commercially viable when it comes out of the lab. New Zealand is a relatively small agricultural nation. If there's products that come out of the lab, is it going to be commercially viable for them to actually be uptaken by farmers by the time it's gone through all the consenting processes and the work that needs to be done? And so I guess getting the approval for some of this tech is one thing. Making it commercially viable and farmers engaging with it is a whole other story. From my understanding, the rules at the moment are actually quite open to that. It's just that they haven't been taken up to that full extent because again, the commercial viability of actually taking it on is not there.
Do you think it's reasonable? Let's say all this works through as we're talking. Should there be some kind of protection plan for farmers against genetic contamination? That's happened in other parts of the world where, you know, something's blown across a few fields and next thing you know, that genome, which is owned by a company, is taking over the other guy's farm. There needs to be a regime to compensate for that, doesn't there? Otherwise, the two can't coexist, even at that level.
That's certainly the questions we'll be putting to the minister around this year, is what protections they are going to put in place for those that don't want to get involved, right? They're saying that it's possible. And so we're saying, right, well what does that look like? Now, I've met with a number of groups of organic farmers who are really worried about their business around what it'll look like in cross-contamination. They're aware of the number of checks that go on with their product already and the ability for their product to get overseas and then all of a sudden be checked and something is found there. That's their current concern at the moment. So that's certainly what we'll be taking forward this year, is how we're going to address that, how we look after that. And ultimately, how do we give the farmers the right to choose, whether they're in or out or can they be?
Yeah, I think that's described as an act of God currently in this. But, insurance won't cover acts of God. Yet if that field of modified wasn't there, it wouldn't have happened. So I guess that's another detail that needs to be clarified because that gets everyone off the hook.
Oh, that's right. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not dismissing that at all. So it's an important part of what they'll be looking at. So we can't, I guess we are in a way waiting for this cabinet paper to come out to see where they're going with it. And then there'll be the opportunity to submit. But I think certainly those farmers, and I don't know if how loudly I want to say this, because I've suggested to the farmers that they write in and let their local presidents and federated farmers know, and obviously me as well. And boy, they've certainly put their feedback in. So I've had plenty of emails over the last few weeks, especially from farmers that are concerned about this.
And then there are the issues of traceability, so you can see where it's come from, empowering the consumers right at the purchase end so they know. Well, that's sensible stuff really in the end, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, and you've got to be aware of it. And so I think our processes have been a little bit quiet on this, and it would be good to seek some more clarity from them as well around, they're the ones that ultimately sell our product at the end of the day. And so what are we hearing from them? We've got a few meetings lined up with them in the next 2 weeks to learn a bit more in that space. But certainly from my experience overseas, there is different shelves that different products sit on, and we've got to be aware of which one we want to be on.
Yeah, 51% of Chinese consumers oppose GE Foods, apparently. All right, before we finish the chat, we've been dialing into a few farmers in the UK just in the last week. They had the protest in London only days ago, and there's the inheritance tax. And I'm not trying to make any comparison with here, but it does seem in various different ways, depending on where you are, that there's this ongoing kind of pushback on farming or farmers or traditional farming. How would you describe it? Are your members feeling that? Are they perceiving that here to any sort of level?
Well, quite honestly, Paul, that's why we've got the Farmer Confidence Tour going on at the moment, because we have felt that, and that's what our farmers have been feeling. But the discussions that we've been having with this current government are contrary to that. So they are valuing the farmers. They're saying we want to get farming back on track. There's nothing wrong with there being a profitable farm and a farmer making money from the hard work that he's doing. We've been hearing that in Wellington, and I said, "Well, Prime Minister, can you get out to the provinces, and can you tell the farmers that straight from your mouth, because that's what they need to hear." But we're sick of this message that farmers aren't valued, and where's the direction of farming going? We want our kids to be empowered to put on their gumboots too, and and to pick up what their grandfathers and fathers and parents and mothers and everyone else did along the way. And so that's what the Farmer Confidence Tour is all about. The first steps and really getting farming back on track and making it the admirable job that it always used to be.
All right, Wayne Langford, who is the National President of Federated Farmers. Thanks for coming on, Wayne. Interesting stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Paul. Thanks.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.